Recorded Books presents The Woman at the Wheel by Penny Haw. Narrated by Carolyn Hewitt. Chapter 1. 1859. Pforzheim, Germany. I was 10 years old when I fell upon 5 words that changed the way I saw the world. At the time, my parents, Karl and Augusta Ringer, had 7 children. Our number would rise to 9 when Thekla was born in 1862, followed by Julius in 1864. Given how occupied our father was as Pforzheim's preeminent master builder, it might have seemed incongruous that he had the energy to spawn so many of us. Certainly Vater had little time to spare. Pforzheim was already so entrenched as the hub of Germany's jewelry and watchmaking industries that it had been dubbed the Golden City. Our town, on the northern edge of the Black Forest, was also abuzz with preparations for the inclusion on the Karlsruhe-Mühlacker railway line. Accustomed to dodging businessmen checking their pocket watches in the streets, we were also growing used to the increased clatter of trolleys, carts, and carriages carrying materials to build the new transport system. As they were leaving Vater's study one day, my father and his colleagues spoke about what the railway might mean, not only for Pforzheim, but also for Germany. I was halfway down the stairs when I heard them agree that the train was much more than a method of transportation.
"It'll open new worlds to many," said the tallest, leanest man among them.
As they walked toward the front door, he explained that, whereas only the wealthy and powerful could afford to travel by horse and coach, the locomotive would allow many others to move across the country with greater ease. I peered over the wooden handrail and saw my father and the others nodding.
"It doesn't matter that few understand how it works," continued the man. "When people lose their fear of the locomotive and recognize the advantages it offers, everything will change for them. Already things are changing."
There was more nodding and some affirmative grunting before the group disappeared, leaving me with thoughts of hordes of men, women, and children clambering into train carriages in search of new worlds. It was exciting. Indeed, business was booming in Pforzheim, and Vater was making the most of it. Most days, he was gone before dawn sprinkled its early light on the Enz River. He came home after the street lamps were lit. However, when our father was with my mother, siblings, and me in the large, fashionable house he'd built us, he was generous and affectionate. Vater was also forthcoming, if rather self-engrossed, and inclined to talk primarily about his work. His lengthy discourses about his clients, mostly wealthy, projects, largely elaborate, building materials, typically expensive, and new techniques, always brilliant, were acknowledged with indistinct mumbles and nods from my mother and sisters. My brothers were too young to feign interest. I, however, was fascinated by Vater's work and his stories about it. I'd listen for as long as he'd talk, interrupting to beg for more details and to ask questions, which he neither shirked nor responded to with impatience. Often, he and I became so absorbed in conversation, we'd only notice that the others had left the room when the fire dwindled and we grew cold. I didn't understand their indifference. How was it possible they were not enthralled by the buildings Vater created, the people he met, or the role he played in the development of Pforzheim? He knew people who were establishing factories, inventing tools and designing machines. He was watching the future of the world as it was rolled out. How exciting, I found it. My mother and siblings' disinterest made no sense to me. On the other hand, my curiosity about Vater's work and his eagerness to satisfy it created what I believed to be a special bond between us.
"Building houses, factories, shops, and churches is only part of what I do," he said as I walked alongside him down Karl Friedrich Street one afternoon, a week or so after I'd overheard him and his colleagues talking about the locomotive.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?